On this week's episode of Devil's Trap Podcast, are you a fang banger?
And bye, Felicia. Oops, I mean Amelia. Let's do this.
I'm Diana.
I'm Liz. Did you change that entry?
And then I did. This week, we're going to talk about season 8, episode 10, Torn and Frayed.
Look at us getting that out there like professionals.
That was take two.
It was.
By the way.
How are things with you?
Good. Busy, but good. We're trying to think. I did see music this weekend. I know everybody's shocked by this information. But it was not what I thought I was going to see. Well, first, we did see the Brian Setzer Orchestra, or not Brian Setzer Orchestra, Brian Setzer
Band,
Rockabilly Riot Trio, Band, whatever. It was amazing. He was phenomenal. I was very impressed, and it was a good show. I get why, because like people are old, but also it just was a show that I kind of wish wasn't in like an all-seated theater.
I typically don't like any shows that involve me sitting down just because I just don't like it. I want to watch things on my feet and, you know,
I want to move around. If I want to go find a seat, I can.
Yeah.
But like here in like, you know, Rock This Town, you want to like get up and rock. Like, I don't know. It's a thing. But yeah. So,
but you that can was tap awesome. your foot and your pat your knee like an old sure. person.
Sure. You can do that.
You crazy kids. You can't get up and dance. That's obscene.
And then we ended up in Deep Ellum and got to see Noogie do a set. It's a Dallas punk band. We watched a couple songs from a band named Ghoul, but we did not stick around for Municipal Waste, unfortunately. But.
Yeah, I think that most of that's Noogie didn't play the San Antonio show. I know Municipal Waste played this weekend.
Two different shows.
Yeah. They played here Friday. And I went, oh, look, Municipal Waste is playing. Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah, that's what you did. Ghoul, I will say, do like, they do all like the theatrics, like, guar-esque.
Yeah.
But it also involves, all the band members are wearing burlap sacks over their heads instead of big costumes. But they have like big, elaborate costumed characters come out on stage. It's kind of cool. And then all Babe could say was like, I can't imagine playing a set with a burlap sack over my head. I would be so sweaty. And I'm like, yes, you would, Babe.
And you know how bad those smell.
Oh, gross. Yeah. I'm getting ready for some South by Southwest adjacent activities, but that's about it.
Sounds exciting. The invasion. Yeah. The invasion is coming.
How about you?
So everyone will be shocked that I went to a bunch of yoga classes. And so one of the yoga classes, and I kind of went to some different vibes. And I went to one which was supposed to be restorative. It was supposed to be restorative yin poses. And the class was filled with 30 people. And the mats were like 6 inches apart. Almost like, so you couldn't like raise your arms, and so I'm like, I don't really feel restorative, but I can smell someone else's armpit, and
it's not relaxing.
So we're down, like, we're on the floor, and the teacher is walking around, and she's telling the story, right? And so she's like reading it from like a card or a phone, and she starts telling the story about this guy who changed his career in his 60s and decided that he wanted to make fried chicken. And how he failed thousands. Those that they're going like, are you telling the story of Colonel fucking Sanders? And she was. So she started off the beginning of this yoga class talking about the story of Colonel Sanders and how, like Colonel Sanders, you shouldn't give up if you can't get into a yoga position. And I'm sitting there going like, now I'm just thinking about like corporate nonsense and like chickens being slaughtered and like just not yoga things. I was not, okay, that doesn't sound,
or at least just think about fried chicken. Yeah, at that point. Like, I just don't feel like that's
nothing yoga-y. Like, for sure. And it felt like this is Paul Harvey and now you know the rest of the story bullshit. And like, I'm in a yoga class, bitch. Like, what? And I'm just like, this is, and I know my face was just like making, like, I couldn't stop it from like making the faces. And
yeah, that's tough.
Like, I did. Oh, and then like the soundtrack was contemporary pop music done to by piano, so it was like classical stuff, like so things like Lady Gaga stuff, and you know, and then like some older, like I think there was like some Barry Manilow in there. Like, it was fucking torture. Like, by the end I was just like so tense and like, I'm gonna punch a bitch if I can't get out of here. Like, it was bad. I spent like half a class thinking about, so if I just like walk down to the manager's office, I can just quit today, right? And then I don't have to come back. Like, it was like, there's like a 30, like, I want to give that gym another chance, but they're pushing it. Like, the Colonel Sanders thing was it's a lot. And that was the second class I've taken there that was that crowded. And I don't know if it's just because like spring break is on, so maybe like people have more time. So I want to give it a week or two, because typically like people don't keep going to gyms that often. You know what I mean? Like, the gym has just seemed really, really full the past couple of weeks.
People need things to do other than be at your gym.
Yeah, they do. They need to go back to school or something. I don't know. So anyways, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So but it would be cool, like, if you were gonna do like that, then we like make a chicken pose, right? Like, stand like a chicken,
do a tie-in or something.
Like, you can't like
give everybody a piece of chicken skin. I don't know.
Yeah, and then she's just like, it's so great. Think about the great empire that Kentucky Fried Chicken is now. And I'm like, no, it's horrible. Like, it's destroying the earth. And like, it was like, all my brain was just like not going to a good, I'm sorry, I can't, like, I can't, no shade on them, but I mean, yeah, anyways, it's not yoga things, not yoga thoughts.
You didn't make a stop by and get a four piece on the way.
I did not stop by the KFC Taco Bell combo that is on my way home from. It could be if I wanted it to be. It would have to go out of my way, but it is possible to go from the gym to a KFC. I did, but I did not. Like when you leave.
Oh, yeah, I also chopped my hair off. That's the other thing I did.
No, you did that. So you became a sassy pony.
I have sassy pony hair. My story too. That's all I got.
All right, are you ready to talk about Torn and Frayed?
I guess.
Okay, I'm gonna say this, we have to get through this episode, guys. There's sunshine coming. Some of the best episodes, like some of my favorite episodes, are about to come. We have to get through this. We'll get through today.
Yeah.
And
I'm sad about a couple components, but I'm also relieved. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. It's not a bad episode. It's just...
It's pretty much an opposite. So, episode, as you said, was season 8, episode 10. It first aired January 16th, 2013, and was directed by Robert Singer, and was written by Jenny Klein, who was just nominated for a Writers Guild Award. And I forget what she was nominated for. Oh, for it was like the Daisy one. The rock one, the Daisy 5, whatever. Like, I don't know. She just got nominated for an award. So hopefully she wins that.
Cool.
So we go from and the start of this, though, we have this really like kind of epic road so far that's set to like a Seeger song.
Yeah, Kathmandu by Bob Seeger.
Yeah, but it's like kind of reminding us of like the sadness, because like Stuart is like starts off at the beginnings already being hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, so our episode opens with Samandriel, aka Alfie, aka Stuart.
Stuart.
And they've got this crazy like spike in his forehead. This is very distressing.
It's very distressing. And then he manages to like poop it out.
With angel power, pushes it out of his brain hole.
Yep, yep. And he calls to Naomi, and you're like, what the fuck? He knows that cunt? Like, oh no.
Mm-hmm. But basically, he's just trying to commune with the angel radio, I guess. But he gets interrupted by this doctor dude that we figure out his name is Vigo way later, but my notes just say doctor dude until we figure that out, because it took me a minute. But, and I don't know if he's a doctor dude, but he's wearing a white lab coat. So that's what I went with, Dr. Dude. And he's like, oh, I know you were trying to use angel radio, so I got to put this spike back in your head. Boom. And shoves it in. And Alfie's screaming. / Stuart.
Yeah, it's very disturbing.
So basically this spike is in his brain and it keeps him from connecting to angel radio.
Yeah, it's like a lobotomy that's like at the hole filled.
Upsetting.
It is.
So we go to Kermit, Texas.
And Sam is drinking in that motel room, and it looks like the same motel room where he, like, fixed the gross garbage disposals, whatever. And because I guess Kermit only has one motel. That is not true, because I looked up things on Kermit, Texas, and I was trying to figure out what we were going to do with this. This episode, it was very hard to figure out to do with this. So Dean comes knocking on her door, and they just start on the motel door, and they just start bickering immediately. And here's also where Diana is going to learn why she got a text from me last night where I asked her fang bang or kiss and kill. And she was picking between the two things that are narrowed it down to, one which was going to be a quiz about fang bangers, and the other which was going to be about this murder that happened in Kermit, Texas. And it's very sad. And I'll send you the article that's in Texas Monthly. It's very cool. There's a ghost that haunts the high school in Odessa. But we could have learned about that, but instead Diana wanted to learn about fang bangers. You whore.
Obviously.
Okay. And the reason that we get here is because while they're going back and forth, and I just want to put off us talking about Sam being a little bitch here for a minute. So Dean says, tell Sam that you heard what you wanted to hear. I told you Benny wasn't killing. Hell, I watched him end the fang banger that was. Now, I feel like Dean is misusing the term fang banger here because he is basically saying that the vampire was a fang banger, which I guess is true if he was banging other vampires. To me, my definition of a fang banger is somebody who fucks a vampire. Would you agree?
I guess somehow I've associated with both, but not really thought about it.
Yeah. So I still was also like, I think fang bangers are good because I would be one if that was possible. So we are going to have a quiz about some of my favorite fang bangers.
Okay.
And so we're going to start the quiz off. There's only a few in here. And these are some elite fang bangers. And so the way we're going to do this is, first I will give you a quote that they said. If that's not enough for you to guess, then I will tell you more information and we'll go from there. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So your first, fang bangers. Oh, for universe for this, these are, I can narrow down the universes if you want, but they're Liz's favorite thing. So they're things that you know. I only pick from things that series I know you've watched.
Okay, I feel better then. I was like, oh shit, because there's so much.
Yeah. No, these are all things you've seen. All right. First quote. Hey, thanks for cutting my head off again, dick.
Oh shit. I don't know.
All right. So. His previous lies have included a knight who was an amazing archer, but who was decapitated in battle, a spy, a wax seller, a monger, a carpet monger, a suitcase monger, a fish monger, a fly monger, a washerwoman who would bathe Nadja, a horse who Nadja would ride naked through the countryside,
be that.
A street thief who Laszlo decapitated with Laszlo. The cleaver,
a naval officer
killed by Laszlo with a cutlass on a ship, an Amazon explorer killed when Laszlo tipped off the natives, a mouse killed by Laszlo in cat form. Do you need another clue?
No, I know who it is, and I can't think of their name. Jeff.
Yes. And there's Jeff Suckle, a.k.a. Gregor, from What We Do in the Shadows.
Yes. Damn it. Okay. I almost missed that one. Sorry.
Intrigued the first one.
I needed a lot of help. I'm sorry.
There's a little longer quote than that. It'll help. My soul is wrapped in harsh repose. Midnight descends in raven-colored clothes, but soft, behold, a sunlight beam, cutting a swath of glimmering green. My heart expands, 'tis grown a bulge in it, inspired by your beauty, effulgent.
Oh, man. I don't know. You're stumping me. I feel bad.
Okay. Here are your hints. He has alternatively been called Blondie Bear, Captain Peroxide, Hostile 17, Randy Giles, William the Bloody.
Oh, is that Bill?
No, it's Spike.
Oh, damn it.
He was a poet, blonde. Remember? Oh, wait, no, Bill effulgent. Wasn't, yeah, Bill wasn't blonde. He used the word effulgent.
Yeah, I know. I went to the wrong vampire universe, and that's where my brain was going.
It's okay. Sorry. All right. Here's your quote on this one. This is why we're only doing a few. They're very tough.
They are. I'm disappointed in myself because you know how I feel about vampires.
All right. Here's your quote. You know, I read in Hustler, everybody should have sex with a vampire at least once before they die.
Oh, that's obviously Sookie. No.
Okay, I'm going to give you the clue.
No?
Unlike his fang-banging sister, he didn't save himself for a vampire and has a reputation in bon ton for being a man whore.
Oh, god damn it. Jason?
Yes, it is Jason Stackhouse.
Oh. Man, it was the Stackhouses.
Yes, you're close. You're very close. Half in the Stackhouse. All right, the last one. So I just did a few. All right. Quote. Stop trusting vampires.
I mean, I feel like there's a list that yes. could have said that.
Okay, here's your hint. His bank account password is Vamp Slayer, and he has the most deaths in his series. He was also a teacher. His wife became a vampire. He fathered twin witch babies that Carolyn carried to term.
Oh, man.
He was Damon Salvatore's best friend.
I can't think of the name.
He likes to drink whiskey in a glass.
Him. I can see his face.
He wore a ring a lot. Then he ended up being a vampire. Then he ended up not being a vampire. Then he ended up running the Salvatore School for Boys.
Yeah, he's super cute. I can see his freaking face. Characters. I know, and I just blanked on his name.
All right,
because he's the star of Legacies, and I haven't started Legacies because I want to finish Origins, but I'm never going to finish Originals. I mean, not Origins.
Yeah,
Originals.
No one's ever going to finish Originals. So someday
I need to, and I can't think of his name. It's a weird name.
And it's Alaric. It's Rick.
Alaric
Saltzman from Vampire Diaries.
Oh. All right, I'm failing in my vampire lore.
I think that just means you need to go screw more vampires.
Apparently so. Babe will be very disappointed.
It's a vampire. I mean, I think you get passes for vampires. I feel like those are like, that's just like in your
I just need to get him to figure out how to become a vampire.
There you go.
That's all covered. Don't worry about it.
Yep.
Solutions.
I'm always coming up with one. So that was our distraction from Sam being a little bitch. Now
I will say he's a bitch. The only thing I'm going to give him is he did have a point when he was like, "So you," he basically calls out how fucked up it is that Dean was used Sam's trauma of all the women he loves dying against him.
Yeah, no, that's fucked. No, that's completely fucked up. Yeah, but
you mean like Sam's being a bitch, but that is pretty fucked. Like when you think about it, like because that is like Sam's like big trauma, not his only. I mean, these boys.
Yeah, no, Sam's pain of death. It's a thing. You know, like he's got it's a thing. It's an issue. I'm sure. Like we all know, you touch Sam and you die. That's just how it goes. But so but they're also going round and round in circles about Benny. I'm very tired of that. Man. And Sam just wants to know if he's done with him. Are you done with him? Are you
done with him? Yeah, it's so bizarre. I don't know what that bitch shit is about. It's really weird that he's got like this. And he's the one that like wanted Dean to have like a gray area on things.
But not when, I don't know, I think it's jealous.
But not when they're friends.
Not when, I don't know. But Dean just does the adult thing and walks out on him, which, you know, I'm not going to say that I would never do that. And so we go from that and we cut to a playground.
And there's a screaming baby.
That poor woman. Baby. That poor woman.
And she looks very tired. But Castiel appears, just flaps right in. It's like, by the way, your baby's been crying for 2 days. The doctor's missed something. That's a really specific type of hernia. So I'm going to tap your baby on the head.
It's an inguinal hernia. And I looked it up what it was. And then I was like, I'm glad I didn't go to medical school because I don't understand this. But it has something to do with like your abdominal, like your stomach, like and poking into it, like an intestine type thing. I don't know. But then like in a baby, it's got to be super tiny. Tiny intestine. So, but he can figure that out because he's better than an MRI. Like, he should, like, why, like, angels, like, what the fuck, man? Like, y'all should be doing this as a service. Like,
yeah, angels are dicks. We know that.
We know they're dicks. But, like, oh my God, you can save our healthcare system. Like, that's how you save it. Just an angel go, diabetes, you know? Or, like, dude, well, then, like, you don't have diabetes anymore. And then, like, boop. We're done. Just boop. Tap. The boop system.
The boop system is real.
I'll come up with a way. I don't know. Like boobocade. So, but the baby is now
boop-a-care.
So the baby is now happy and healthy. And while that happens, he just gets zapped right up to Naomi.
Yeah, and she's like, "You need to go rescue Samandriel, aka Alfie, aka Stuart, right now. But no one can know that I sent you. You just have to pretend like you're doing it on your own. Okay, bye."
Yeah. And it's just like, what? All right. And she's also like, it's your idea. I didn't do this.
Yeah. So he shows up to go find Dean, who is.
No, he goes to watch Dean sleep.
He's sleeping on the sofa, aka passed out with a beer.
Yeah, that's. Damn, Dean. Damn. Man, like, that's not good. It's not healthy.
But Cass's like, I need your help. I heard on Angel Radio this morning about Samandriel being captured because I checked Angel Radio since I've been doing penance and helping people. So I need your help. And Crowley has Samandriel. Let's go. Somewhere in Nebraska.
Yep, and it's also going to involve talking to people. So he definitely needs his help because he's not good with that. And I hear you, Cass, like I do. And Dean opens up his like laptop and it just like has porn on it. And he quickly tries to close it.
Yeah. You saw nothing. But he gets online and Castiel's telling him, hey, when you torture an angel, their screams create weird incidents, which is very distressing information.
Yeah, but I also feel like everything creates strange omens and incidents. Like these incidents that they're seeing are the same type of things that happens when the demons do something or when the apocalypse is coming. Or like, so how do you tell them apart? I don't know.
I don't have the answer.
So yeah, we're going to do that, but then we're going to make notes and say back in Amelia, Texas. We go back to Amelia and Sam, because we're in Texas and Sam is watching a classic documentary on the history of the dung beetle. It's one of my favorite documentaries. It's so good. It's one of the first. Really? Yeah, it's really. I don't know. It's like one of the first documentaries I ever saw. Love it. Doug Beal is fascinating. And it, like, just rolls like his little poop up into like a ball, and it's just like, it's a really good documentary. I think Attenberg. You know, anyways, it was Robert. Like, I think it's Bobby's Robert Singer, the director, who's doing the voiceover on the Doug Beetle. So, anyways, Amelia's knocking on the door.
Yeah, she's there, and she's like, at the bar. I had to just make sure it was you, but I definitely saw you peeping in my window, and that was stalkerish, which it was. So now I'm confused. So she just showed up at his motel room. So she knew where to find him. And so what? She just showed up at the bar and was like, Sam? And he's like, huh? And then she just like left. They like didn't have a conversation.
It's very odd. She showed up and she was like, it's you. And then my husband's named being deployed. I have to go. And so she just like left at the bar and went to like, because he was being sent, he was going somewhere for his job.
It's just odd.
Either way. It's stupid. This whole thing is stupid.
So he travels a lot now, and he wants to know why she's there. And she's like, well, I was all settled in and content, but now that you're here, and now I know that you care, then...
You know, it is fucked up, man. Like, your ex keeps showing up, like, you've like, moved on with somebody else, and then, like, your hot moose of, like, whoever you are, it's not... Whoever you're dating or married to is not Jared Padalecki. And so, like, clearly, like, you know, like... I'm fine, but then you show up and I'm like, shit. And then I'm like, okay, like, I guess we're going to have sex now because look at you.
Well, first date, right now they just kiss. However, we all know where this is going. So we cut back to where Crowley and Vigo have Samandriel. And they have now constructed this bizarre, like, metal head harness thing. And... to hold the spike in because he keeps pushing it out, I guess. And then they keep adding more to them. I don't know. There's more spikes. That's what I know.
It's sad. And then they hurt him so much that he starts chanting and a bush catches on fire and throws a dude against a wall.
And it burns him. Poor Mr. Hinckley's just chilling, walking down the street. And he hears a bush talking, goes to check it out because I guess that's what you do. I don't know. And the bush bursts into flames. I'd be very distressed.
Yes, no, I don't think that would be a good day. I'm not quite sure what I would do with that information.
No. So Dean and Cass have to go visit Mr. Hinckley in the hospital. And they pretend to be journalists, but basically, I don't know. And Dean makes a really good pun about an ambush. I'm just
tell us about your ambush. And the joke is not by appreciated by Cass or the Bush dude.
Yeah, but basically, they've determined that what the chant that he heard the Bush saying was Enochian for obey. And Cass comments the amount of pain that an angel must be in to not only speak through shrubbery, but to burn it.
Yes. If you manifest through shrubbery, you're in a lot of pain. Also, just the word shrubbery will always be funny. It will always be. Thank you, Monty Python. Mm-hmm. So Dean thinks that they should drive until they see ugly.
Yeah. But instead, we're going to cut back to... fucking Kermit, Texas, because Amelia and Sam have banged it out.
And now they're going to have an awkward post-coitus conversation.
Yeah. And because now it's like, oh, this was great, but it was also a mistake. Yeah, totally agree. Meh. She's like, I have a good life and a good man. I don't want to hurt him, but I think of you all the time. Blah. Anyways. So
she gives him an ultimatum. And yeah. I mean, for one... Yes.
It is fair. You need to be all in or all out. You have to be all in or all out. Pick one. But if you're going to be in, we're all in together. But if you're fucking out, just get the fuck out and don't come back, motherfucker.
Yeah. And I think that is fair.
That part's reasonable.
Dick. Yeah. She should have. This conversation is supposed to happen before you get naked and touch your naughty bits together. But also, I understand. I get it. I Amelia, climb that moose. Like, you go, girl. So, but she gets like, okay, 2 days.
which is like this really random, like,
48 hours. Time to think. I so we're going to take 2 days hours. To think.
Exactly. In 2 days. And we'll either both be here or neither of us will be here or one of us will be here. We'll be back at the motel room that we fucked at.
We'll know. We'll know.
So, yeah. Okay. So either way, Dean and Cass have identified the one of many factories, abandoned factories. Apparently this is the 9th one they've checked, and this one actually has demons at it, so that's how they know this is the one that Crowley's at.
And Dean says, ain't that America? And then I get John Cougar Mellencamp stuck, well, actually John Mueller Mellencamp as done by Avail, stuck in my head every time I see it, and now every time I see it written in my notes. There it is. It's gonna be in my head. So, but those, yes, those derelicts are demons.
Derelict demons. And basically there's a bunch of angel wards. So Dean can't go in alone because of the number of demons, and Cass can't go in because of the wards. So Cass is like, we need to get Sam. And Dean's like, nah, we're not getting Sam.
A better idea.
Which is a common theme in this episode. So
where do we go to?
We go Fizzle's Folly.
Fizzle's Folly! Yes, Garth. I love you so much, Fizzle's Folly. Mr. Fizzles! And hi, Kevin!
And we see Kevin! Oops. I shouldn't say it that way. And he is translating tablets still, and there is, like, it's not murder wall, but it's, like, that equivalent of an in-depth translation. Like, notes all over the walls.
Yeah, he cracked out.
And he's by himself. Yep. Which is weird too. And also, basically,
because he is focused. He is like trying to figure shit out. He's only got half a tablet. And remember, the tablet does like weird shaky things when you read it. So
yeah. That would make me motion sick.
Yeah, I think this is basically happening, right? Is like you just get motion sick from, like, as you read it.
Oh, then they put him on the boat to read it.
Oh man, what the fuck, man? Oh,
that's just rude.
Who's messed up?
Well, either way, apparently Kevin looks like shit. Garth isn't there, and Dean wants more demon TNT. So we go back to Crowley and Samandriel.
Oh, so before we do that, we do get a list of some of the ingredients that are in this, and that includes West Bank witch hazel, skull of Egyptian calf, the tail of some random ass newt that may or may not be extinct. So I'm just like, do they keep taking the tail of the same newt? Because again, it keeps growing back.
That's funny.
Yeah. And also, like, is that a business I could have? You just have, like, you just got to keep the one newt alive, right? And then he like regenerates it. So the gift that keeps on giving. I don't know. Maybe that's my new career path. I'm just going to breed newt tails.
Newt tails. Newt tail distributor.
Yeah. Fig newt tails. Okay, so Cass basically offers to be Instacart, and so he goes to go shopping and fill his cart up, and now we have to go back to poor Alfie.
Poor Alfie, and because Crowley's like, I need Vigo's like, I need you, Crowley, to tell me what the fuck he's saying, because when I screw this spike into Alfie's brain, he starts saying weird shit. I don't understand it.
And of course, Crowley is so smart, and he speaks Enochian.
Of course he does. And he's saying that they basically have tapped into what the equivalent of the operating system that programmed the angels to be angels. And so he now wants to figure out what makes the angels tick.
It's very, very well shot and very hard to watch, because it's really, you know, just watching the turning of the screws in the head, and it's just, it feels like it's tightening, and just, oh, poor baby. And not the car, but also, you know, so Dean is, you know, so we got cut from that to Dean just pacing back and forth.
And Kevin's wearing headphones and cannot hear Dean, so Dean whispers to him that his mom is hot.
Yep, he just starts saying very lascivious things about Linda Tran.
And then the phone rings, and it's Benny. Benny Benny's supposed to be underground. He's like, I am underground. I'm in a park hanging out in new clothes. Look at me. And he's basically says that, you know, the situation that he, what he was trying to do, what happened with Martin wasn't supposed to go that way. And Dean's like, no, it's cool. I talked to your granddaughter. I know what went down. And Benny's like, thanks. But by the way, I need some help in the Catskills. Are you around or can you come visit me? Or do you know anybody here? And Dean's like, no, I'm busy, but I'll come meet. We'll meet up as soon as I'm done. Right. I mean, yeah, well, I got you. I can tell you're having a tough time, friend. I will be there after I finish what I'm doing. And I got your back.
Yeah. Right? This is a very emotional reach out. This is like a friend's like struggling like and like, yeah. I need you to come like be my friend and come get coffee with me. And it's so sad. And why are you watching this family in a park, Benny? It's weird. Don't do that.
I know. I was like, is he struggling with not eating people?
Yes. That's supposed to be the struggle, I think. But I think he also misses purgatory. He misses the fight, right?
And well, there's something going on. Now he's got to figure it all out.
Yeah, even like at least
there isn't a plan.
Yeah, you can't like he has to like you have to be good. And before you kind of got to be like your true self, and you got to be the vampire that you are, like. So I don't know, but don't eat the family and don't watch them in a park. It's weird.
Green. Well, he gets off the phone and we find out that Kevin, why Linda Tran's not there is that Kevin sent her away somewhere quote unquote safe because she was kind of annoying, but also because he didn't want to be distracted and he wants to be able to enjoy her to be able to enjoy the world and him to be able to enjoy the world once he finishes this.
Yep.
Like,
so Cass comes back and he's got his ingredients and he also has Sam.
Yes, he does. He does. And Sam's like, look, I'll get out of here here as soon as we save Alfie. And we get a back and forth with it. We don't need him. Meh, meh, meh. And Cass finally tells him to stow your crap.
Yep. And so all three of them get in to pull up to the factory and Cass gives them the lay of the land and basically just...
And he's got... And they made the bombs. They had the ingredients.
Yes, they made their bombs. And so he's like, okay, basically, you know, like they're at like the northeast, southwest and you need to destroy these symbols. And then like he just draws a fucking star in Sam's hand.
Yeah, in Sharpie.
And it's like not the symbols at all. He just drew a fucking star. I thought that was hilarious.
It's very weird. And so they go to remove these wards and kill
Cass
the demons.
Also gives Sam an angel blade and then tells him, so we've added this now too. He's like, this kills demons too. So now we know like angel blades kill angels and demons.
Which makes sense, yeah. Right? I mean, it does. So they got to go wipe out the wards and kill a bunch of demons so that Cass can get in and save Alfie. That's the grand plan. Courtesy of Castiel. So we get a lot of cutting back and forth now. A lot. But the story that we're seeing is Sam and Dean killing demons and finding these sigils and Xing them out with black spray paint. There's four. And then poor Alfie / Samandriel / Stuart getting more and more spikes screwed into his head. And yelling, chanting different things in Enochian. And basically we're finding, and the yells are echoing through the building when he screams between this. But what Crowley is learning is that there's a, you know, he's talking about the tablets. And so now Crowley is getting excited. So Vigo's like, by the way, I think we're getting attacked because we have some bombs going off and there's some demons getting killed. But I guess they find out that there's another type of tablet about angels. So we got the demon tablet we know about. Now there's one about angels.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. So now we've got an angel tablet.
Yes. Which is the big, big news that Crowley is very excited about. And it takes a lot of work, but they get all the boards. Castiel gets in the factory and they break down the door to get to Samandriel. And when they do, Crowley's already gone, of course. And Cass is able to get him out after unscrewing all the spikes from his head. don't like it.
Yeah. And while he's doing that and working on getting Alfie free, though, Cass is also having these flashbacks. And so when he first, like, lands in the building, he's at half power. Good. And he just basically kind of curls up in the in the corner. And he is not doing good. And he is flat leg. He is basically getting triggered by what is happening to Alfie. And he is remembering the same things that is happening to Alfie happening to him.
Or similar things, yeah. But yeah, but it's Naomi doing it in an angelic-looking clean room, right?
Yeah.
Well, Vigo wants to negotiate with Sam and Dean about, oh, I can tell you everything I know, blah, blah, blah. And Cass is still fighting through these flashbacks, but he manages to save, or whatever, unscrew Alfie's brain and flap him out. But Dean's like, nah, I don't need you, Vigo. I'm going to kill you. And he does.
Yep. And outside, Alfie is this kid. It's like, I can't go home, right? He's like, I said things I shouldn't have said. And he starts telling Cass some shit.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, they're controlling us. And while this is going down, Castiel pops out to Naomi's office and she's like, never mind, thanks for saving him, now you gotta kill him. And Cass is like, what do you mean? And he's talking about, you control us, what did you do to me? Because he remembered those things, those flashbacks. She's like, nope, kill him, bye. Poofs him back,
and he does
it. Oh no, that's what my notes literally say no. I wrote a bunch of
Pour one out for Alfie Stewart.
Samantha, very sad.
Yeah, it's very sad. And this whole, like, whatever the fuck Naomi cunt bitch is doing, like, this is all not good. It's not good.
Oh, I don't like
and
it.
And Cass doesn't and understand she poofs him this back. Either. She is just
and
like,
she poofs
yeah.
him back. And she's like, you killed a traitor. Good job. He was broken. He told Crowley about things. Something that we need to die to protect. So you did a service. Poof back, but don't tell anybody.
Yeah, and she also tries to convince him that he's a hero, right? And so it's weird, like, and there's a lot of stuff we don't understand that's going on, right? Besides the fact, clearly, that she's a cunt. But that's pretty obvious. But we know that something weird, like, in what, you know, what Samantha Alfie Stewart was saying, you know, is, you know, we've got to be concerned about what is going on with heaven, right? What did Cass leave up there, right? Because we know, like, he done fucked shit up last, you know? Mm-hmm. So something is going on up there. We don't know. But we just know that he is now back on Earth and just vomiting up whatever Naomi told him.
Yeah. And that's not good. So Sam and Dean run up and Castiel's like, oh no, Alfie must have been compromised. He tried to kill me, so I had to kill him.
And he cries blood, which is also disturbing.
Yes. And that's weird. And he's like, oh, my vessel must have been damaged in the melee.
Melee.
But that doesn't really make sense. Like, I don't know, the crying blood is not good. So either way, he flaps out.
And he takes Alfie up to heaven, and Naomi wants to do an angel autopsy.
Yeah.
I don't know what you would call it, an angel autopsy.
Angel autopsy.
I guess that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we've got back at the cabin, Sam and Dean are there, and Sam is... Sam. Sam's painting, like, angel ward things everywhere because they want to have a conversation about Cass without him hearing or showing up. And they're like, yeah, he's been off since he's come back from purgatory. Why on earth would he have fucking killed that other angel? I don't get this. And they both just basically agree that Castiel's fucked up. That's pretty much just what happens there. So now Dean's like, all right, well, Sam, bye.
You're like, what? Sam's like, what's going on? Like, when did you all of a sudden, like, what, now you like Amelia? What the fuck, man? Also, I would be pissed. I would be like, no.
And Dean's, But Dean, I mean, but also, Dean's not the one that brought Sam into this. He told Cass no. And also, he gets kind of a point. He's like, look, I'm tired of fighting, and maybe I'm a little bit jealous that maybe one of us could have, like, a happy, normal life. So, yeah, if you want to go, fucking go.
Yeah. No, I mean, trust me. Like, I am relieved that he thinks this way. It's the way he should probably think. But, yeah, but then he also says, you know, what's very important is, like, but if this is kind of also what Amelia was saying, you know, you've got it. You're either in or you're out. And if you don't have both your feet and you want to die. Because when hunters are distracted, that's how you end up dead. So you gotta be in or be out.
Yeah. So now he's had both Amelia and Dean tell him, you gotta pick and you gotta be all in on whatever you pick. Commit to your decision.
Commit.
So Sam's gonna go for a walk. Which is reasonable. It's a big decision to make. And we cut back to Benny. Benny is drinking donor blood out of the cooler in the trunk, in the bed of his pickup truck. And it's kind of a sad scene. And his phone rings and Dean's calling. And he's like, man, I'm in a really hard place. I really need you. And Dean's like, so about that, I'm not going to make it. Like, ever.
I'm breaking up with you.
This is the end of the line. Benny thanks him for the ride.
Dirty.
And Dean says goodbye.
He had to use those words. Thanks for the ride. I mean, come on. Like, what innuendo?
Well, they talked about how he wrote in his arm.
I know, but he wrote him. So, anyways.
So I wrote, no. Again, yeah. Twice in one episode. Twice. Two so long no's so in one episode.
Yeah, and so Dean has broken Benny's heart. He was left in there, like, struggling. And, you know, but we cut to, from that, back to the cabin. And Dean watching boxing.
Oh, sorry. That just, like, really put a song in my head, which actually ties into the title. That, what is it, that that torn song, like, that, oh my god, I don't remember. Nothing, dun-dun-dun,
I'm all out of faith. This is Meredith Brooks, Torn.
Yes, and it's Torn and Faith. And that was,
there you go.
She left him sitting there, see? There you go. All right. Y'all are welcome for me singing part of that song poorly. All right. So we, later that night, Dean's watching TV and Amelia's going to the motel. So we've got two cross stories happening. And Amelia opens the door to the motel and Sam is not there. Yikes. He is at the cabin bringing beers and snacks to Dean.
Awkward. Oh, Amelia, you... Burn. Nothing worse being the only one who shows up, like,
right.
But also, like, how do you not show up? Like, I'd have to know. Like, I would have to at least have put it, like, a camera in
to
the
know
hotel
if they showed up or not.
I need to know.
Never,
I need,
how would you never know?
How would you never not know? How would you never not know? Like, there's no way. Like, I could, no. Like, also, you want to be the one, like, bitch, I didn't show up. Fuck you. Like, no, I said fuck you. Like, you know, like, my pride would never.
If you don't, if you both don't show up, you'd be like, motherfucker didn't show up.
Exactly.
Even if I didn't show up,
like,
I still want
to
be mad.
Like, and you have to know there's no Schrodinger's box on this relationship.
No.
You have to know. No. Like, how could Sam, like, just, like, mm-mm. not know? Like, that's cold. That's fucking, mm-mm. I think the whole thing is fucking cold. But
yeah, I don't like it. I don't like it. But I was amused. Either way, it was well done.
What I do like is, fuck you, man. Like, sorry, fuck you. Amelia, you were fine. Bye, Felicia. I hate that relationship. That storyline is stupid and needs to go the fuck away. Bye-bye.
My military husband was killed in battle, but no, wait, surprise, he wasn't. But he's back, and now I'm going to pick him. I don't know. It's so fucking weird.
I don't understand it. It's awful, and I hate it. I'm so glad it's over.
And she seemed fine. It was just the storyline sucked balls.
She can go back to her husband.
Dan.
Yeah, and go enjoy that life. You know,
yes.
Dawn doesn't need to know that she went to that hotel and banged another dude.
But that's even, is that worse? I don't know.
Don't
that's
know,
upsetting.
Like,
see, that whole thing
she
upsets
cheated
me
on
too.
Her husband. Like,
yes.
See, like, none
and
of
tried
this
to,
is...
and in theory tried to leave him.
And she was going to. Like,
she would have left him.
Yeah, you should not be.
What if she left him? What if she told him she was leaving before she went to the motel?
Like, if you don't want to be, like, clearly you don't want to be with him. Like, to me, yeah. Like, I don't know. I granted, you know, I am a single middle-aged lady because I have principles. Like, I sleep with my principles instead of a man. So I don't know. Like, you know, at least she will at least be getting Don's dick instead of no dick at all. But I would say if you were going to choose a different dick than Don's dick, you don't need Don's dick.
You'll
like,
be with Don.
You shouldn't be with
that's
it.
Not fair to Don. That's not fair to Don's dick. I think Don's dick should find another person.
Like, yeah. Wherever it should go.
Poor
like,
Don.
Poor Don.
Don's probably traumatized.
Don has to be. Like, he was MIA for, like, so long. Come back. Your wife is shacked up with another dude. Then she goes, like, yeah, no, he's got to be in a lot of therapy. Don, I don't think
it's probably wise for him to be traveling for work right now either.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. Like, they need to. You need to be home right now. Maybe not in Kermit, Texas, because in the 20 things for Kermit, Texas, like one of the things in that list was a liquor store. So, y'all, Chamber of Commerce or Kermit, y'all need to step your shit up. I'm just telling you, like, you shouldn't have a liquor store in the top 20 things to visit in your town.
No.
This is a really good liquor store.
I mean, you never know.
Maybe it is. I'm sorry. I don't mean to throw. I would say I will go to. I'm not going to go to West Texas unless like I have to. And there's
really cool parts of West Texas.
I love Marfa. And all right. Well, there is that. There is a con coming up in April. I may be in Baltimore if that happens. So. Anyways, so do we have a couch?
We do. Just yeah. It's a brief one. Casting couch, it's the casting couch. Were they on that show that time with that guy? La 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 la. So we have just our a doctor dude, as I called him at the start, Vigo. is played by Vincent Gale. He's actually in multiple episodes of Supernatural as well. But you may have seen him in TV shows like MacGyver, 21 Jump Street, 4400, Fringe, and Arrow. He was a reoccurring character named Gil in Bates Motel, Flesh in Van Helsing, Robert in Snowpiercer, and then fairly recently, he was played a character named Boss in The Fall of the House of Usher, which I haven't watched yet. I really want to watch. And then I thought one interesting side note, Mr. Hinckley was Tony Alcantar. That was the guy, our burn victim from the bush, the ambush.
The ambush.
He's actually typically a dialect coach. He's not, he's been in other things, but most of what his work in Hollywood, most of his credits are being a dialect coach.
He can learn me. Oh my God. He can teach me how to do an Irish accent without sounding like I'm from Jamaica.
There you go. So,
very cool.
That's our casting couch.
Yep. All right. So I think we already started getting into our feelings. But yeah, clearly, bye, Amelia. Sorry, Dawn. As much as I know you're sad for the departure, but it is also you can't be, I'm thinking about this in my life right now, like you can't be torn in that many directions and have, things turn out well, right? Or maybe you can. Or maybe you just don't have, need to learn where your priorities are. I don't know. Like, I think you could have your boyfriend Benny and your brother Sam, but
I don't think you have to pick one. I don't think you have to pick between a dear friend and your brother. That seems odd.
Or your boyfriend, it just, whatever relationship you're in, your brother should probably learn to, maybe try and accept him.
And maybe understand that you can't be as tight as you used to be.
Especially after he's been ridden by another dude. I mean, he's just not going to be as tight as he was.
All right. On that note, here we go. I was just saying that maybe there are issues or reasons why someone would you know, oppose the friendship or the relationship or whatever.
Well, but I mean, like, clearly,
it just seems extreme.
You think that they're in a relationship with a shitty person. And, but I think the, you doth to protest, your hair doth protest too much, Mr. Winchester. And I think that there are other feelings that are in here. I think there's a lot of guilt in here because Sam did not look for Dean for a year instead and went and got a dog and a girlfriend. Which is perfectly fine, but he clearly, I think that's a lot of the reason for the Benny hatred is a lot of self-hatred that he is projecting into that. Maybe.
Now poor Benny's depressed.
And poor Benny is in between. Like, this is not fair to Benny or Don.
Oh.
Maybe Benny and Don need to get together. They can go fishing, right? Like,
they could. I feel like they would enjoy that.
They can sit on a boat with a beer.
Yeah.
Yep. There you go. So we solved it. We have solved your problems. You're welcome. And someone has to take the dog. I don't feel like, I know Amelia is a vet, but I don't feel like she wants the dog. Yeah, I'm very concerned about, where is the dog? Where is this? That's what I'm very concerned about.
Yeah, where's the dog?
All right. Anything else?
That's all I got.
Bye, Felicia, or bye, Amelia. Cheers,
Ben.
Devil's Trap Podcast is a Don't Get It production. Meow.
Devil's Trap Podcast is part of the Ship It Studios Podcast Network. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Devil's Trap Podcast. You can follow us on Instagram at Devil's Trap Podcast, Twitter at Devil's Trap Pod, or you can email us at devilstrap@devilstrappodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe, leave reviews, and share with all your friends. We're at all your favorite podcast outlets and at devilstrappodcast.com. I'm Babe. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.